fenders hurt feelings. I love it.
Leading 80 out of those 90 laps. Chase Elliott, you have won at Watkins Glen again. Congratulations.
Very wild. Thank you, guys. That was freaking awesome. I feel like I've never been so far from home. It felt like I was at my house. So thank you. Y'all are awesome.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome to episode 6 of Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings. As always, I am your host, Dalton, alongside my co-host, Bruce.
What's going on, guys?
And I would just like to start out this episode by saying, hell yeah, because I got the W on Sunday. Well, I didn't. Chase did, which makes it feel like I got to win.
Fans are included in the we, I feel like.
We got that W, and that, I told one of our buddies, Parker, told him that if Chase would have lost Sunday, that would have been the most heartbreaking loss I think I have ever been through, just because of how dominant his car was all weekend and winning both the stages. So I just wanted to say, hell yeah. How did Blaney's weekend go? He didn't. It was kind of a boring weekend, right?
Oh, very boring. Very, very boring top five, and no extracurricular activities happened.
No old man pointing in his face?
No,
or nothing?
No, okay. Washed up old men.
Okay. Whoa. Bang, bang, shots fired. You been having a good week so far? We're a day behind normally when we put this out.
I can't complain yet.
No, I can't either.
Yeah, you got to be on top of the world right now.
Oh, dude, I get on social media, and I'm like, refresh, just to see the pictures, scroll back through, of, you know, the old Napa Chevrolet and Victory Lane.
I get on Twitter and refresh for other reasons.
So,
you know. So NASCAR won't stop milking it. That's all they post. Forget about the winner, which is odd, because normally, I mean, he's your most popular.
Oh, I haven't forgot about the winner. But,
should probably save the Blaney Jimmy thing for later.
Oh, yeah. It'll be in here, for sure. It'll for sure be in here, and
Bubba versus Kyle Busch, Myron versus Kyle Busch.
We got slots to talk about. I was going to ask you something, but I forgot what I was going to ask you, so there's that. Uh-oh. You made me lose it. But speaking of social media, everybody go follow ours at this podcast.
We actually remembered to put it in the front this time.
In the front, yes. Right after the sponsor, which is Anchor, by the way. Twitter, it's at @bent_hurt. Instagram is @bentfendersandhurtfeelings, all one word, correct?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, you run the Instagram, I run the Twitter. That's why I always ask you if it's correct. And Facebook is a Facebook page, Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings, and also a group. Feel free to join, like, follow, subscribe, whatever you got to do. This podcast is available on Anchor, Spotify, Radio Public, Breaker, Google Podcasts. We're working on iTunes. We got people listening to it on iTunes somehow.
Those same three people every week that are listening, what's the deal? What's happening?
Don't really know how that works, but hey, I appreciate it.
You putting us on there or not?
I sure appreciate it. And hey, we're just going to keep putting them out. I don't care if two people listen and it's just me and you, but I enjoy doing it and I enjoy talking NASCAR, and here we are. So, a lot to dive into. Truck Race at Eldora was almost a week ago.
It's going to be rough trying to recap that.
Wasn't really much to recap. A lot of wrecks, a lot of caution. I think they ran more caution laps than did green flag laps. The real winner of that race was the Ford Raptor. That was the pace truck. But you had two guys that were, well, you had one guy that was the class of the field in Chase Briscoe.
Yeah, I mean, that was his to win.
Stewart was good, but he was not that good. But he never pitted. So, I mean, kudos to the guy. He held the lead after that, and then Briscoe got caught up in all them wrecks, and it was a wreck fest.
What a, especially towards the end. What a place to get your first career win, though.
Well, he's a dirt tracker, man.
That just makes it even more special.
Like, he's got to be the favorite going in there, him and Briscoe, because Briscoe won last year. I mean, those had to be your two favorites, because there wasn't a Kyle Larson there, and there wasn't a Tony Stewart there. Oh, I'd love to see Tony in a truck. That'd be sweet.
Bubba Wallace, and I think one more said they'd go next year.
Austin Dillon. Well, I thought you meant have won it.
Stewart, I think they're trying to talk Stewart into doing it next year. And Bubba Wallace said if Stewart did it, he would do it. So
Bubba can't even find sponsorship for his cup car.
But Domino sponsors that weird little thing he does.
That's not weird. It's the Legends Summer Shootout.
But they can't.
It's kind of a big deal.
They can't sponsor.
You're right. Maybe they sponsor a truck. Who knows? Probably not. But who knows? But yeah, the truck race. It's still one of my favorite races of the year. And the cautions got a little annoying because you just had people spinning out for no reason. Oh, another big thing with that was NASCAR made the number 33 truck. I can't think of dude's name right now, so sorry about that. He was sponsored by Marathon. And NASCAR made him unsponsor his truck because Sunoco is the official fuel of NASCAR.
That's stupid.
But, I mean, joke's on them because dude finished fourth and got an interview afterwards. So Marathon still got their TV time.
Well, I mean, think about it. NASCAR's hurting for sponsors as it is. Why try to kick out sponsors that are trying to come in?
That's like Sprint turning Verizon away.
I mean, that's like, you know, the county we live in, turning down businesses for more Dollar Generals. So.
Well, they do. They turn down Walmarts and Targets so we can build four Dollar Generals within 2 miles of each other. But that's neither here nor there. But the truck race was really, it was good. It was a nice change of pace, midweek race. I don't have a problem with midweek races. I think they're actually pretty good.
Imagine if that Pocono race was moved to Wednesday on the doubleheader weekend. That'd be interesting. I mean, Pocono itself. Well, but they
couldn't do it at night.
That's true.
That's what would get that one.
That's true.
But with football starting back up, the ratings are going to drop. Not that they're that good anyway. But, hey, I still tune in and watch every week. But speaking of NASCAR being on TV, I just want to have a little moment of rant here. Walked into Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffaloed? I can't talk today. You might have to do all the talking.
B-dubs.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Not one TV in the whole restaurant had the race on. Not one.
Well, I can understand.
There was putt-putt golf on TV.
Look, I can understand in the fogs. You got hockey, basketball, you know, baseball's coming in, football. But, I mean, it's August now.
And let me tell you something.
Nothing's on. Baseball.
I told the manager. I said, hey, man, I'm looking for the race. He said, what channel? I said, NBCSN. Right? He walks over there, comes back, and he goes, yeah, we don't have that channel.
That's a load of crap because I watch hockey there, like, a lot.
I said, what? He said, yeah, we don't have that channel. I said, well, F this. We're out of here. I threw $2 on the table and started to walk out. Right? So I walked back in. I was pissed. It's the only reason I wanted to go to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the race, drink some beer.
I've watched hockey games there on NBCSN.
Oh, I walked back in. He goes, dude, we do have it. It was on 75% of the TVs in there. He turned it on every TV but the big main one at the front.
Shocker. Once they lose business, they find it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that's, I just wanted to touch on that. So don't let B-Dubs people lie to you. But that was for the Cup race. Now, the Xfinity race was on Saturday. And it was awesome. I loved it. Great racing throughout. The finish was spectacular. And the main dog, Kyle Busch, was out early. And that just made it that much better,
yeah,
in my opinion.
That was probably his race to lose, and he did lose it.
Well,
so.
He didn't. His left front upper control arm did.
Yeah.
And I just want to make a point out that Kyle Busch is the most talented driver on the NASCAR circuit. I don't care what series he's in, what he's running, what.
I don't think you can debate that, honestly.
This man broke a left front upper control arm after he come off the first curb, went through the entire bus stop, took the lead, and the only reason he didn't make the carousel was because the corner was too sharp, and it was a right-handed corner, and the left front was what was broke. So, I just think that's phenomenal, and you guys, I understand the hate, but I don't understand the non-appreciation of the man and for what he does with our sport. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, but, this is a pro Kyle Busch podcast.
Well, I'm not a Kyle Busch fan, but I do respect.
I mean, I've always liked him just because it's.
I respect and acknowledge care. And look forward to seeing his talent on display.
And I mean, he wants to win. I mean,
and the one thing I like about him is he's not scared to say what he thinks, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, whether you like it or not. He don't care. You can kiss his ass, and that's that. But that man has the most talent I've seen in a long, long time, which is not saying much. I'm not that old, but You know, it's what it is.
I mean, just in our lifetime, Stewart is the only one that comes to mind that's...
Jeff Gordon.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about just like wheelman.
Jeff Gordon.
You could put them in any kind of car and they would just wheel it.
Jeff Gordon.
I think.
Jeff Gordon. Oh, okay. Anyway, sorry. Had a cough there.
A little biased. I mean, if that was... I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
Yeah, we're going to move on.
I was going to say if that was the case, he'd have a lot more Xfinity wins than he had.
Okay, but he doesn't run every... He never ran every week like Cobb Busch does. Or did. Once Gordon got to the Cup Series, he quit running Xfinity races. He ran like some in 99 when him and Evernham had their own team.
I could also go on a rant that Kyle Busch would have half of the Xfinity wins he has if Carl would have stayed.
Oh,
Carl Edwards would have stayed in the series.
Hey, you dropped down there with the scrubs. You win a lot.
They weren't scrubs at the time. That was a really solid division.
They're really not scrubs solid. Now. It was a joke. For all them people, they're like, ah, Cup drivers don't need to be down there. Yada, yada. That's how Jeff Gordon got noticed.
Yeah,
he beat Dale Earnhardt at Atlanta.
Yeah, that's the dumbest argument.
But anyway, had a little bit of an altercation in this race as well. There's a lot of drama all weekend. A lot.
More road courses and short tracks.
Hey, well, I've been preaching. Justin Allgaier and Ross Chastain got into it just a wee little bit. What started it out was Ross got into Allgaier going through the bus stop, spun him out. Allgaier hit the wall. And a few laps after that, Allgaier got his payback, and it was a little bit worse. And Ross was done for the day. My only beef with that is Ross drives for Johnny Davis.
Lower budget.
You know, that was the same car they were going to use this week at Mid-Ohio, I think is where they're going.
Yeah.
And I hate that for the smaller teams. But also, Ross has got to know he's driving. Been for a smaller team. Excuse me. Sorry. And that's the one beef I had with it is just he tore up a car of a low-budget team. You know, he don't care if his gets tore up. Junior Motorsports has him built out the yin-yang. Yeah. So that was unfortunate to see, but hey, it happened. And it was drama, and it was awesome. And, you know.
Can't ask for more.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want. That gets people fired up. Although, Ross is such a fan favorite, probably not the – for some reason, he's such a fan favorite.
Yeah, I mean, nothing against him. I don't understand it either.
Small, you know, town guy, farmer, watermelon farmer. You think that man don't have money? Yeah, okay.
I mean, the watermelon celebration is pretty cool.
I'll give it to him. He's a likable dude. I just don't understand why he's like, oh, gosh. Hey, how you doing? I'm Ross. And everybody's like, oh, my God, Ross Chastain. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But you had that happen, and you had Kyle Busch breaking the upper control arm, as we said, which took him out, which fired everybody up because they knew the race was wide open then.
Yeah,
I figured it would move to Ryan Blaney being the favorite just because he was the only Cup driver left.
You obviously haven't paid attention to Blaney enough.
Touche.
Well, actually, no. He's not. He didn't have Bullens on the box, I don't believe, so.
Maybe he would have had a better chance. Who knows? Don't start ranting now. And
I could fall all the way into that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I know. So your race goes on, pretty good race throughout the middle and latter portions. We have a late race restart with Austin Cindric on fresh tires, restarting about sixth or eighth. They go off into turn one, and Christopher Bell gets hit off of turn one, and I don't know how that man didn't spin that car out.
It was a crazy save, and it just keep going.
And, yeah, never – I mean, he lost a couple positions, or one, because that's how Cindric got to second. That's what I was going to touch on. That was a key moment of the race with that happening, and Cindric just moving along the outside and was in the second all of a sudden and had new tires and just ran AJ down. That was an incredible save by Bell. I don't know who else would have saved that car. Kyle Busch maybe would have saved it. But not many other people would have saved it. Larson, maybe.
As long as there wasn't a wall nearby.
Yeah. Larson, well, there's walls everywhere. Hey, I don't think Larson hit the wall this week.
Whoa. I mean,
first week of the year.
We sound like we hate Larson right now. We don't.
No, I like the heck out of Kyle Larson.
It's just crazy. I think
he's the second most talented driver in the field. But I don't think he can showcase his talent because of a certain P word. But anyway. So, Cindric runs down AJ Allmendinger with two to go, puts the bumper to him going through the carousel, which is awesome. I'm fine with it. It's legal. I think it's all fair. Next corner, AJ puts the bumper back to him, which, again, I think is just all fair.
Just road course racing.
Just stock car racing. Just having fenders on the thing. You know what I mean?
Bent fenders.
Bent fenders. Hey, you got to do that sometimes. But they didn't hurt each other's feelings. That's in the cup race. Everybody gets their feelings hurt.
That's very true.
So, and AJ blew turn 7 coming to the white flag, and that's what allowed Austin to get
ran
back
out of
to him. He did run out of talent.
Ran out of talent.
It explains why Ryan Preece is now driving the 47 car. But, and then I think that's why AJ didn't hit him again. I mean, he knew he blew his opportunity, and he just was going to try to get him clean. And congratulations to Austin Cindric on his first career win. That's awesome.
It's two firsts in a row.
To see first-time winners, is it?
Well, I mean, if you count Eldora and then...
Oh, yeah. And if it was a year ago, it would have been three, but it's not a year ago, and we got five wins. Ooh. But how many has Blaney got again? That's what I was going to ask you earlier.
All I'm going to say is if Logano or Keselowski had this bad of a team, it would have been changed at the beginning of the season. I'm not one of those conspiracy theorists that say, oh, they don't give Blaney the good stuff because that's just stupid. Why would they intentionally sabotage their car?
I hear you.
I just don't think they put as much priority to Blaney. Again, I'm not saying they don't give him good equipment. I'm just saying they don't treat him as – which, I mean, he hasn't earned.
You can tell on social media that he doesn't get.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a champion yet. So, I understand. I understand, but at the same time.
You understand? Do you understand?
He's been taken out of so many races, he's had one. And a lot of that's bad luck, too. But a lot of it is the crew chief.
Sir.
And.
Would you like to.
They've swapped places in a way.
Would you like to gander down this bad luck path? I had to endure 7 second place finishes.
They've swapped places. I mean, Blaney's should have won Daytona twice, I think. Bristol at least once. He lucked into the Roval, which is weird. I can't think of any more off the top of my head. He broke an axle two weeks
Kansas,
in a row, which
Kansas
is like
something last
the
year.
Probability of that is just like
that sucks. Yeah, I just like giving
running
you a hard
second
time.
Both weeks in a row running second.
Look, I just like giving you a hard time about that. That was all the recap on the Xfinity race, by the way. I like giving you a hard time because when Edwards retired, I tried to recruit you to the Chase Elliott train, and you denied them on board the Chase Elliott train. And
well, there's just a lot of similarities between and Blaney and
yourself,
Carl. Oh. A lot of Carl Edwards fans went to Blaney.
Well, I just like giving you a hard time because yeah, you got the win first, but now we have five, and you have two.
Let's. You know what?
And I just like to point that out.
First one to win a championship.
Ooh.
Or a crown jewel race.
Ooh.
Watch Blaney will win Indy and we'll have to debate. That was going to be my throttle time question. Is Indy a crown jewel race?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That was it.
We will put that one in there, boys and girls. I'm going to write it down.
That's what it was.
Click another pen. So, I'll save my answer for that one.
To be continued.
Yes.
On that one.
Stay tuned. So the cup race, man. I could talk about this all day.
Honestly.
I'm thinking I could talk about this all day. I could just talk about the 80 laps that were led by the 9 car.
Well, and see, typical, I mean, I know you had probably had to be feeling it too, but me just still having it in my head that Chase, you know, something bad happens, I'm like, okay, something's going to happen
I was waiting for him to blow turn 1 again, to be honest.
Or what? Just Truex to just catch him and put the bumper to him. But
they were both perfect
to his credit.
50 laps. Because I think I seen a stat. They ran first and second for 51 of the 90 laps.
That's just insane.
And they beat third place by like 11 seconds. They were in the class of their field. Which Chase was in the class of his own all weekend. He wasn't the fastest in first practice, but he was fastest in final practice, qualified on the pole, won both stages, won the race. So, ever since the win last year, he's won basically everything at Watkins Glen. So, I think it's pretty safe to say he's got that place figured out.
How do you run at Sonoma?
He was running really good. He was running top 5 and then blew up.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, maybe the road course.
Now, the road
they got something.
The road, he was locked into the next round, so I don't think he.
Well, I mean, that was a wild card anyway.
He still finished, I think, 10th or 11th or something like that.
I wouldn't count the wild. I mean, the Roval as anything yet, because they hadn't been there yet, so.
Yeah, but it's still a road course, so gotta throw it in there. But, man, that was a, you know, it seems boring when you sit there and say, hey, the winner led 80 of 90 laps. The only time he didn't lead was when he had to pit at the end of stage two. Like, you would think this race was boring, but that was the total opposite.
It didn't feel like it at all, like. At all.
Man, there was drama from the second lap to the finish of this thing. So the second lap, we have Bush and Byron. Byron,
what? He just drove it in deep or just...
You don't remember?
They were just racing. Byron was on the inside, right?
Byron was on the outside.
The outside, okay, so I had it flipped.
Byron was on second because he qualified second because Engine Motorsports swept the front row. Holla Chevrolet. And Kyle drove it in there, and Byron didn't leave him a whole lot of room, but I don't think Byron anticipated Bush to drive it in there so deep on lap two, considering he was so much faster. Kind of pinched Kyle down. Kyle kind of spun the car out to keep it off of Byron.
He kind of had a bell-like save, and he fell to 10th, but...
I mean, yeah, he spun her around, but the car never came to a stop, and he took back off and was running 10th, and that's when it all gets started. He caught Byron... Sent Byron
through the grass
in the bus stop, just ran right into the back of him.
Which, I mean, honestly, that probably should have been the end of it. I know Byron didn't mean to, but I mean, you got to think in your head that
damn, you not turning your sound off again.
It's off. You got to think in your head, okay, he's upset, he retaliated, we're both good, but then Byron went and
here's the way I look at it. Byron didn't think he did nothing wrong the first time, okay. Byron's got Chad Knaus, possibly one of the greatest crew chiefs of all time, on the radio telling him he needs to go up there and knock the bleep out of him.
Yeah, that was just a stupid decision his part.
It's not, because I probably would have done the same thing, but Byron, what happened right there was a learning lesson, okay? Under the caution flag, you don't run up on the back of somebody like Kyle Busch. Because guess what? He brake-checked him.
Kyle Busch was getting a lot of crap for brake-checking him. But, I mean, what? Is he just supposed to let him hit him?
Right. No, I don't have a problem with him throwing the brakes on. I mean, yeah, it sucks for Byron. I'm a Hendrick guy, but I don't have a problem with Kyle hitting the brakes right there. Kyle seen it coming. Did you see the bird go out of the window when he did it?
Oh, yeah.
He shot at the bird. So, that was the first major thing that happened there. And Byron, that is something Byron can take and learn from and say, hey, if I'm going to go retaliate against somebody, it's not going to be under caution where they can brake-check me. So, he needed to learn that lesson. But that was the first big drama-filled Bush versus everybody moment. Then he's hauling ass back up through the field. And apparently gets in the back of Bubba Wallace and spins him out.
See, that's another thing. I don't think there was footage of the contact.
Was not footage.
And see, this is my theory. I'll get into the Jimmy Johnson rabbit hole later. There's not footage of... Blaney driving through Jimmy either.
We've got different takes on that. I don't think Ryan drove through him on purpose, but
we'll save that. We'll get into that in a second.
Dale Jr. said on his podcast today, I listened to it, that a fan had tweeted him after that happened, that was at the race, and said that Kyle did just get in the back of the 43, and then the 43 spotter was on Door Bumper Clear, which is also another podcast with Dirty Mo Media. I don't know why we're promoting other podcasts right now where I am. Maybe Dirty Mo wants to pick us up and have a podcast in Nashville. Anyway, he said that the other spotters on the track, so the 18 didn't even try to pass him, just drove through him and wrecked him. So, you know, it's whatever. It's who do you want to believe in that situation? But a couple laps... Or not a couple laps later, but a little bit further down the road. And thankfully, Bubba got spun out because I think Truex was going to win stage two if he wouldn't have. Because he was a lot faster than Chase at that point in time. So thank you, Kyle Busch, for wrecking Bubba Wallace. But then probably the biggest moment all day was that moment that the 18 car got under the 43. I can't remember what lap it was on. How many laps were left? 20-something. There's like 27 laps to go because they restarted with like 25 to go.
Yeah, something like that.
Man, that shot down the front stretch, I thought Bo Wallace was going to run him head-on into the daggum pit wall. Into the pit wall. It was insane.
So see, judging off of that, that's why I completely I thought Kyle Busch was justified bumping him back and
bumping who back?
Bubba.
He didn't bump Bubba back.
Yeah, he did.
No.
Yeah, they were bumping.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant after he got spun.
No.
I was like, what are you talking about?
No.
I think he rebounded to finish 11. But, and then Bubba turns him going down into turn one, and that might have been the second biggest cheer of the day. I think everybody loved that one. I didn't have a problem with that one. It's awesome for the sport to have that. It's awesome to have Bo Wass after the race saying bleep him with the F word in the bleep spot. That's going to cause...
I mean, you won't see retaliation because, I mean, Kyle Busch is never running around Bubba.
He would have lapped him.
I mean, yeah, to lap him, but...
I don't think, Bubba ain't got nothing to run for. Kyle Busch has got to run for a championship, and that's why I think that man only has one championship. He is way too talented to only have one, but he's way too immature to have more than one.
But then what's Harvick's excuse? He's way too talented.
Well, we could get into a couple of different things with that one, because if it wasn't for the chase, Harvick would have about three.
That's true, too.
So, I think Kyle would still only have... No, I don't think Kyle would have one.
Really?
For the chase. I don't believe so. We have to look that up, but I don't believe so. Maybe, no, because Trix would have won it in 16. I think Harvick would have won it last year if it wouldn't have been for all the playoffs and stuff. But that's neither here nor there. We got the playoffs. That's what we're stuck with. That's what we got. So, I think it's ironic that both of those guys used to drive for Kyle. I think that's what makes it a little bit more, hilarious, if you will. But, it's Kyle versus everybody, it seems like, right now. And I'm just thankful that my driver does not have a problem with him. I don't think your driver has a problem with him.
No, they're, like, really, really close.
So,
surprisingly close.
And that's why I think Truex coming down to the end of the race could have maybe dove in there and got to the back bumper of the nine as hard as he was driving in the corner. But, Chase don't piss a whole lot of people off. I don't recall him ever really pissing anybody off. I think he's pissed off Bowyer once, but they're fine. And, Chase drives the way people want him to be.
And maybe if Truex didn't have a win yet, there would be more desperation.
Right, so.
I mean, I'm not saying he didn't do everything he did to try to win, but.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, so that was the two Kyle Busch moments. So, would you like to, So you said your driver didn't have anything happen this weekend. Ryan didn't have any drama or anything happen.
Well, I gotta watch my words here.
Hey, I would just like to say there was not a more perfect sponsor to be on the commercial than Ally when Jimmy Johnson got spun out. That was the most perfect timing of any sponsor drop and of how Jimmy's career has been lately. Like, it was perfect.
You hate to see it. You hate to see it.
It was just awesome, man. And it is hard to not. Look, I like Jimmy Johnson and I like Ryan Blaney both. Okay. I'm Team Ryan on this whole situation because I don't think he was quivering. I don't think he was scared shitless. Nervous.
I don't think Jimmy thought that video was going to come out. And that really kind of hurt his credibility.
If you've ever really listened to Ryan in post-race interviews, he's kind of naturally
low tone. It's hard to explain.
Low tone. And he kind of sounds like he's got a, he's kind of talking like, I don't know how to explain it. But
yeah, it's weird.
He's not the most outgoing person in his interviews anyway.
No.
And I in the video I seen, I didn't think he was...
He didn't try to back down.
Shitless or...
He got interviewed after even the broadcast, and he said, I told him if he wants to go, we'll go. And he didn't want to do anything. So it's kind of like he's just doing it for, I don't know, to stay relevant, I guess. Maybe the desperation that he's battling Newman for a playoff spot is setting
sad.
In and...
Two of his other teammates. When all three of the other Hendrick cars are safely in the chase as of right now, two of them have wins. One of them has two wins on the year. And
I like Jimmy, and it just it sucks because it happened to Blaney. I mean, I think it probably would have. It just it would he would have done it to anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. His frustration of the whole year.
What makes it that much more interesting, though, after Jimmy kind of exaggerated their confrontation and got exposed for that not happening, and then there's no footage of Blaney driving through him. I'm not saying it didn't happen. There's just no footage
here's
of
what
it.
I think
so
happened.
It's hard to figure out.
Here's what I think happened, okay?
Because Blaney's not an aggressive driver. I don't see Blaney just driving through anybody without a good reason.
Here's what I think happened. All right, so the way Chase was running the carousel towards the end was he was kind of diamonding the carousel. He was running a lane up, and then he'd cut down. I think what happened is they come off the bus stop, and they come out of the bus stop. Jimmy went to run that diamond line, which left the bottom open for Blaney. And I think Blaney was on fresher tires at that point. Probably had a faster car. I mean, everybody's got a faster car than Jimmy. And I think he thought Jimmy was going to stay up top. Jimmy thought Ryan wasn't going to stick his nose in there. If anything, it's a racing deal.
If you leave a hole open, it goes back to Texas in 2014.
Hey.
I mean.
Gosh dang, I went from cloud nine, no pun intended, down to the ground.
If there's a hole, you can't expect a race car driver to not try to feel it.
And especially, I mean, there wasn't that many laps to go. I mean, you know, it's not like it was 100 to go, and they don't even run 100 laps at Watkins Glen. But, I think it was a racing deal, and what happened is Jimmy's frustrations of the whole year and his past 2 years have boiled over to a point where now he's going to start blaming everybody for what's happening. And I've seen the perfect thing on
And even he tweeted, I'll let you finish.
On Twitter, he jumped some dude's ass on Twitter for saying something about
it. That was gonna be my thing.
And
he hasn't let it go.
What? I think we're talking about two different things.
No, we're talking about the same thing. Like, he's still, like, it wasn't just the heat of the moment thing. He's still.
No, that's not what I was talking about. What? I was talking about some dude said, apparently you forgot about wrecking Truex at the Roval, yada, yada. And you're just taking your frustrations out of being in the playoff battle.
Yeah, it was the same one. And he said something about I don't remember the exact words, but then at the end, he kind of tied it all back together and blamed Blaney again for driving through him.
Ah, probably talking about the same thing then. But, yeah, Jimmy's milking a little bit. I don't know why.
Here's the thing. I want NASCAR fans to be consistent. If we're going to criticize Kyle Busch for being whiny, let's do the same to Jimmy.
Or Joey Logano or Brad Keselowski that whines after finishing second, or when something doesn't go their way, they get out and cry about it. That's what I try to tell people that I know that are like, oh, Kyle Busch is just a crybaby. Well, if you're going to call Kyle Busch a crybaby, you got to call Joey Logano a crybaby when he finishes third and gets out and he's all disappointed and, well, we had the fastest car and finished third. That ain't worth a darn. Like, it's the same thing, you know. That's what I hate about Chase. He don't really show emotion. If he finishes fourth and has the fastest car, he's like, well, you know, had a good nap at Chevrolet, but
he'd be a great franchise quarterback.
We just we missed it a little bit there at the end, but, you know, it sucks, but we'll move on to the next one. You know, I want to see my driver show a little bit of emotion, and I don't, you know. Kyle Busch's job is to win races, not finish second. Second's just the first loser, you know. If you ain't first, you're last. Not to quote off a dumbass movie, but really.
I love it.
If you're not first, in today's NASCAR, what does second place get you? Nothing.
I mean.
It's all about winning, baby.
It's easy for us to say, oh, you finished second, third, fourth, fifth. You know, that's a good day. But, you know, to them.
That's what I miss about the mid-2000s. Points
don't
racing,
matter.
Dude. Points racing, people can talk shit about it all day long.
You never hear it was a good points day anymore.
No, and points racing was so great. Because it made drivers think about, do I really want to put myself in this situation? Do I not? You know, it's not, they're all out there to win. But now it's better to finish second in the stage than it is the race.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yes, you pulled up that graphic. I don't think we were on the podcast, but you were just going through it about how Suarez finished like fourth last year and didn't get as many points as Denny in like seventh.
Yeah, I looked up the results of something last year.
Like, how does, like, Suarez finished fourth and got, like,
34? Yeah, I pulled up Watkins Glen last year because we were debating on where Blaney finished, and I think he finished 12th last year. And the guy that finished fourth, which was Suarez, gained 34 points, and Denny Hamlin finished seventh or eighth and gained 38 points.
How?
I don't. How you finish behind somebody and gain more points than them? Anyway, we're getting off on a whole different subject. But, and I don't want to talk shit about stage racing because I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it
I
helps.
I think it has produced a lot, but I just don't understand how a guy can finish behind you and get more points than you do. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't, you know.
Because normally that would just happen to one guy, you know, whoever led a lap and led the most laps.
Right.
But they'd get, you know, a couple points.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, those are the main points of that. Chase Elliott got max points, speaking of points. He couldn't have gained any more if he wanted to. Won both stages in the race, I believe at 60 that he got, which is awesome. I mean, not really, but it's awesome. He's up to 14 playoff points now, which is killer for me. Put him in sixth in points right behind Logano after, you know, if you count the wins and everything.
So, Logano's been quiet.
Logano, he was my pick to win Sunday, and he ran bad.
He's been quiet.
I don't know why he ran bad, but Michigan's coming up this weekend. And
yeah, I expect him.
He won there earlier in June, so I think he'll probably bounce back. We'll get our picks in for that here in a little bit. But the cup race was really good, and man, I believe Chase has the Watkins Glen Road course figured out, and I love it. I never look when I became a Chase Elliott fan, you know, some transitioning from a Gordon fan to somebody else. Jeff Gordon was good everywhere.
Yeah, you get to experience what it's like being a normal NASCAR fan. You don't just
look, man,
get wins every dang weekend. No.
Every racetrack they showed up to until they added Kentucky.
You gotta suffer like the rest of us.
Jeff Gordon had a chance to win the daggum thing. It didn't matter if it was Pocono, which he has the most career wins at out of anybody. The Brickyard, same thing. Most career wins out of anybody. Bristol, Martinsville, like it didn't matter. The road courses, Daytona, Talladega.
Every type
of racetrack. I mean, he won at every one of them besides Kentucky, and that's because he only raced there like four times. But, man, I'm starting to, I would have never thought Chase would be this good on road courses. But let me tell you something. I love it. Love every minute of it. And the man kicked everybody's ass this weekend besides Truex's, and he still kind of kicked Truex's ass too. You lead 80 out of 90 laps. That's pretty damn solid. Second most all time at Watkins Glen. Tony Stewart led 83 in 2005. And I loved every minute of it. And I don't want this week to end because he's probably not going to win at Michigan. Although Michigan's a really good track for him. So, but this package is still unpredictable when you go to a place like that. And we'll see what the hell happens this weekend. And hopefully.
In theory, it should work at Michigan, but I don't think it does. I don't remember the earlier race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the draft works big time. The draft works big time, which they're putting the PJ1 down this weekend.
So that'll play it. Well,
I don't know which lane they're putting it down on. I didn't read the article, but they are putting the sticky stuff down. So that should improve the racing a little bit. I would think they're putting it on the outside line. No, I can't remember what lane they ran.
They put it on the outside, then I have my pick for Michigan.
Well, they're not going to put it up against the wall.
Well, I know that. But
if they did, Kyle Washington would still hit the wall. So, I don't know. I just know they're putting it down, and it should be entertaining and all that fun, good stuff. But
Stenhouse signed an extension.
Did he?
Yeah, through 2021, I think.
Why?
I have no idea.
Why in the hell?
Roush, for some reason. I like Stenhouse, but Roush, for some reason, they like him.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Probably Fastenal has something to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that don't make any much of sense. But hey, sponsorship dollars drives this thing. So it is what it is. And
I just wish Roush, I was a big Roush fan. I wish they figured it out. Newman hasn't been bad in the six, but.
No, he hasn't been terrible. He's been a pleasant surprise.
We should probably tell Rick Allen that Newman doesn't drive the 12 anymore. I don't think they messed up this week.
I don't think they did either. I don't remember hearing him say that. I like the radio style broadcast myself. I think Mike Bagley does a great job with the crew. Yeah. Dale Jr. is, man, they don't beat nothing. There's nothing better than a Southern guy up there in the booth calling races. I mean,
it's relatable.
Hell yeah. to us especially.
He's always excited about what's going on.
Maybe not to the people listening to this in like New York and stuff, but to us it's awesome. So
I'm still of the mind that that's Dave Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy,
they're Barstool. Getting into NASCAR. They're like, you know what?
Hey, if Barstool wants to have a NASCAR podcast, if I can't talk today, man, it's killing me. If they want to have a NASCAR podcast, there we go. Enunciate. We would love to be picked up by Barstool.
I'm a huge stoolie.
I'd love it, even though Bussing with the Boys is better than Pardon My Take, but we won't get into that one.
I mean, facts. Literal facts would disagree with it. Bussing with
the Boys is better. So, I don't know, but it was a fun weekend at Watkins Glen, and until
next year.
Yeah, until next year. It's one of the best racetracks on the circuit. Did you see where the grandstands were sold out? Which they weren't sold out, but I guess they sold all the tickets. I can't remember how many campers it had, but there was an estimated 101,000 people at Watkins Glen this past weekend.
That's in New York. That's crazy.
But NASCAR's dead. In quotation marks, dead.
It's crazy.
Hey, that just shows you put on the right kind of racing. And
yeah.
And look, we're kind of getting off subject here, but that's why Bristol ain't selling out no more. Bristol's not a good racetrack anymore. No. I love short tracks, and Bristol, that's the one sad part. I still love Bristol over majority of what they run. And Bristol is not the same racetrack it used to be. Bristol does not produce the same amount of, same racing it did back before they did this stupid-ass reconfiguration of the progressive banking where they can run the outside. And it's still one of the best races on the circuit. But it doesn't sell out because, let me tell you, tickets to that son of a gun, I looked them up, $80 for the grand, down at the damn catch fence.
Yeah.
I'm not paying $80 to sit at the catch fence. It's not happening. And then, it's just, the racing's not what it used to be. But anyway, that just goes to show that you put on the right kind of racing, and it doesn't matter, it's going to sell out. I mean, Talladega sells out for a reason. I cannot talk today.
Watkins Glen.
Dude, I don't know what's wrong with me. It sells out for a reason. And the Bristol Night Race sells out for a reason because it's the Bristol Night Race. I mean, it's just iconic.
I made a complete 360. I used to hate road courses and love, mile and a half.
I know. I always try to convert you to
road courses. Well, that had a lot to do with Carl Edwards.
You notice everything I've tried to convert you to and you don't like it. It actually turns out pretty good.
Well, it had a lot to do with Carl Edwards. I mean, he ran really good at mile and a half and didn't get good at road courses until the latter part of his career.
He outran Jeff Gordon in Sonoma in 2014. Yeah. Although with one more lap, Gordon would have passed him. But
Boris said, of all people, was his mentor.
The said head.
Yeah.
All right. Hell yeah. Well, you ready to do some throttle time? Let's do some throttle time.
Let's do it.
All right. So throttle time, my man. All right. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, so the first question I got is a two-part question.
This is the first I'm hearing of these questions.
We don't rehearse this. This is we wing it during this whole show.
This isn't the second time we've recorded this.
We really do wing this whole show. We try to take notes, and just we never go off of them. But, okay, so this is a two-part question. Eric Jones. That's who we're discussing here. Are you on throttle or off throttle on Eric Jones making the playoffs? That's part one.
He makes the playoffs, and I think he wins at Michigan this week. Let me throw that one in there.
A little foreshadowing, you see. Okay, so you're on throttle about him making the playoffs?
Yes, sir.
Okay, second part of this question. Are you on throttle or off throttle about him being in the 20 car next year?
I could see both, but I think he's still in it.
So you're on throttle with that one as well?
Yeah, I'm on throttle.
Okay, I am on throttle about Eric Jones making the playoffs. I do not think he wins this weekend. I do not think he wins all year. But I do think he makes the playoffs. I am off throttle, though, on him being in the 20 car. I think Christopher Bell being in the 20 car because I think that's what Toyota wants.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the longer Christopher sits in the Xfinity Series, the more impatient he gets, the more he wants to leave. So I do think Eric Jones will make the playoffs, which I think will make that decision harder. But I don't think he's in the 20 car next year.
He won't have problems finding a ride, and maybe they either put him in the 95 or put in a second car there. He won't have a problem finding a ride, though.
So how about that, boys and girls? How about that one? Going off his Daytona interview there, if you didn't know what I was doing there.
Yeah, and that killer mullet.
The best mullet ever. I think we've mentioned that 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah.
Second part of the question. Or second question. Whoa. Okay, let me try to explain this to you. Are you on throttle or off throttle with Bush having rivalries with everybody in the field?
If I understand it right, I'm on throttle.
So you are on throttle with Kyle Busch having problems with everybody, basically.
I'm a Kyle Busch guy.
Okay.
I think that his racing style ruffles feathers.
Okay.
I like that. Right. I know that's a very unpopular opinion. But and on top of that, more rivalries, good for the sport.
Okay, well, let me.
We're talking about it.
Let me.
Helps these younger guys become more established.
Does it hurt him winning the championship?
Well, considering he's probably going to be lapping Bubba Wallace, but I don't see Bubba Wallace straight up just screwing him. Byron, I don't know. I don't know his personality well enough.
Well, I'm on throttle with it as well.
They'll race him harder, for sure. Yeah. I don't think they'll just straight up take him out for no reason, unprovoked.
Hey, they can eat their Matt Kenseth Wheaties.
They'll race him different now. But that's okay, because that's just how he races.
I agree. I'm on throttle with it. I do think it hurts him winning the championship, though. Because he's going to be trying to lap one of them at Texas. They're going to hold him up, and he's not going to win. Or Homestead, for that matter. So, I think it hurts his championship chances. But I'm on throttle with the rivalries, and it's good for it. That's how NASCAR got popular. I mean, you know, that's the best part about it. Next one. Are you on throttle or off throttle about Matt DiBenedetto keeping up his string of good finishes? What's he got? Four top tens in the last six races?
Yeah, and a top five. Two top fives this year, I think. I like him. He's a very good guy. He's very he's got a pretty good following on Twitter. Very good guy. I think so. If he gets booted out of the 95, then he's forcing the issue. Somebody's gonna have to pick him up, because
you want a hot take right quick?
Give it on me.
He'll be at Stewart Haas Racing within 2 years.
Who do they kick out? Almirola? Boyer retires?
Swayze. Harvick? You're going to have three openings. Cole Custer, FL1.
Yeah.
Harvick will be there as long as he wants to.
Yeah.
Boyer's not performing. Almirola's not performing.
It all boils down to sponsors.
Matty D will be in a Stewart Haas car before 2021.
I can see it, honestly.
The start of the 2021 season, he will be in Stewart Haas. Write it down.
That's a good point.
And if I am wrong, I'll eat my words. But I just got a good feeling about it. And then the one you alluded to earlier is, are you on throttle or off throttle about Indy being a crown jewel race?
In NASCAR, no. In racing in general, yes. So that's kind of a...
So you're off throttle for Indy being a crown jewel?
I guess I'm feathering it, because in the NASCAR world, no. But in racing, I know it probably doesn't make sense, but in the racing world, it's still Indy. So yes, it's a crown jewel, but in the NASCAR world...
No.
No.
I agree with you, actually. I don't think it's a crown jewel. I'm off throttle with it as well. I think the crown jewels for NASCAR are the Daytona 500, of course, the Coke 600, the Southern 500, and I feel like I'm forgetting.
Gotta throw the Bristol Night
Race. Right, the Bristol Night Race. I still think I'm forgetting one. Maybe not. I don't think so, actually. No.
Nothing I can think of.
To be honest, I think it's a bigger deal to win at Talladega than Indy in the NASCAR world. So.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think it's a crown jewel race, and I don't think it should be on the schedule, but it'll always be on the schedule because it's Indy, to your point, and it's huge in the racing community of all sorts, and it'll always be there. But
they have a road course configuration too there, so.
You trying to see more ovals right now?
Well, no, but I mean, we can experiment. You don't have to leave Indy. You can.
Maybe, yeah, but they like, go to that. They can go like to Jeff that
Burton, like Jeff Burton said, we can stay at Indianapolis. Maybe the normal track isn't for NASCAR, but maybe the roval configuration, maybe that's where NASCAR would thrive. Give it a shot.
I think you need to go to the short track in Indianapolis, but that's just me. You know, it's not actually the ORP? Something like that.
Something like that.
IRP?
AARP.
Hey, shout out to Jeff Gordon. I'm drinking a Pepsi Max right now as we speak, too. So, there's that. But, picks. Was that your pick for Michigan? Was that your prediction, not your pick?
I was going to call it a dark horse pick, but is Eric Jones a dark horse?
No. He's in the 20 car, for crying out loud.
I can see it. I mean, watch. It's going to be Logano or somebody like that, but I'm going dark horse 2 weeks in a row. I'm taking Eric Jones.
You're taking Eric Jones.
I'm getting laughed at right now by whoever's listening to this.
I didn't laugh, so they're not laughing.
Just like I was laughing at, you know, I mean, they were probably laughing at me taking Suarez last week, but statistically, his average finish was third there.
I took Logano and he finished like ass too. So maybe we shouldn't pick. Maybe we should like counter pick who we really want to win.
You know what? Ryan Blaney is going to be terrible and Jimmy Johnson is going to win the race and it's going to be amazing. I mean, it's not going to be amazing.
So, Eric Jones is your pick to win Michigan?
I think so.
Okay. I'm going to go with. It's hard. It's hard with this package to pick who's going to win. But I'm going to say. Man, that's tough.
That's a tough one.
It's tough because there's a lot of different guys that can win there. I'm going to go Hamlin.
Hamlin's a good one. Kurt Busch comes to mind.
I think Hamlin gets it done. I think he gets, you know, I think Hamlin, we talked about it last week. I think he's a championship contender. And
a quiet championship
contender. He finished third Sunday. And I mean, he wasn't in the same ballpark as Truex and Chase, but he finished third. And like we said, points don't matter anymore, but that's a good solid day to finish third. I think he wins this weekend and solidifies that he is actually a championship contender. And I think it'll be a good race. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to see the package again at Michigan to get a better feel for it. And I think it will be good racing. I think the PJ want to help.
And then after that, this is like the hump. We got to get over it, and then we got Bristol and Darlington. And then Indy, so we're back.
We're going to get Bristol off weekend, Darlington. Indy, so and the playoffs start, and then it gets fun. It'll be drama filled, and NASCAR will be manufacturing all that.
But
thank you guys for listening again. Share with all your friends and family, and your mamas and daddies, and granddaddies and grandmas, and aunts and uncles, and cousins, and all that. It's been fun. We're still learning this thing, so just hang in there with us. And hopefully this show is better than last week's. I thought last week was probably our worst one we've done yet. I think it's because I was so dadgum tired.
You're going to have those, though.
But I think this week went pretty well. Remember to follow the social medias at Bent_hurt on Twitter, Bent Fenders Hurt Feelings, all one word on Instagram, and then the Facebook group and page, Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings. So thank you guys again for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. I do want to say before we're out of here, prayers, thoughts and prayers with the families and lives affected by the mass shootings over the weekend in El Paso and Dayton. That's awful, awful news, and I wish we could get all the evil out of the world, but we can't. And my thoughts and prayers are just with all those families and everybody that was affected by that. But thank you guys for listening. As always, I'm Dalton signing off.
See you guys.